Well, I was going to make a joke about how your eyes weren't deceiving you and how Wes's hair didn't move to his face and he didn't gain 20 pounds and, you know, all those things. But instead, Aaron took that from me. So, full disclosure, last week I was in Kidmin with my lovely wife, Carissa. And so we weren't in here for Wes's sermon. It took a couple days for it to get up on YouTube so I could watch it on Thursday morning. In the pre-service meeting, Wes was talking, and he had made a couple of references to his sermon, and all I could think is, oh, wow, that's very similar to what I plan on talking about next week. And so there may be some reoccurring themes if you were here last week. You know, Wes had kind of a call to service. Mine's going to be a little bit different, but there are some reoccurring themes. So trusting that the Lord had all that in mind whenever he gave us our sermons. So we're all pretty familiar with all the various analogies and metaphors and things that are in the Bible. You know, there's a lot of agricultural things talking about bearing fruit and vines and branches and things of that nature. There's a lot of athletic references, running the race and training and discipline, things like that. One of the metaphors that Paul uses throughout his writings in the New Testament is the body of Christ, referring to the church. So in Romans 12, 4 and 5, it says this. It says, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another." And then in Colossians 1, he writes again that he, referring to Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. "For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church." So just based upon those two scriptures, we see that we as believers are the members, and he is the head, he being Christ, is the head of the church or the head of the body. So we read a lot about that, we hear a lot about that. So as I was studying this idea, there was this kind of reoccurring word that kept coming up, and it's the Greek word Sundesmos is I think how it's pronounced, and comes up several times, and it's referred to as bond or unity. It's the thing that binds things together. But in Colossians 2, there's a different translation in English of that same Greek word. Colossians 2 says this. It says, "Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food or drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up with reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grow with a growth that is from God." So that same word for unity and bond, the thing that binds together, in Colossians 2 is ligaments. And I know Wes talked a little bit about ligaments last week, which is kind of interesting because I don't know a lot of sermons where people talk about ligaments. So we're gonna talk about ligaments again. So has anyone ever had like a knee injury or a shoulder injury or something like that? Torn ACL, MCL, they're painful, right? They don't feel good. So according to WebMD, ligaments are a band of tough elastic tissue around your joints. They connect bone to bone, they give your joint support, and they limit their movement so you don't have, you know, hyperextension and things like that. Their ligaments also hold your organs in place where they're all supposed to be. So when your ligaments are healthy, you feel good, you have appropriate ranges of motion, and when you aren't, it's pain. When they're not, it's painful and it's limiting. So what are our ligaments as the body of Christ? What are the things that hold us together? What binds us together as believers and makes us unified? So from that previous passage in Colossians 2, Paul's talking to the church there about their divisions. So they're having divisions over Jewish customs, over Gentiles' previous pagan rituals, their dietary observances, the Sabbath. So it required Paul to write to several of these churches about what it meant to be the church and the unity that believers should aspire to achieve. So we're going to look at another passage that he wrote to another church today in Romans chapter 14. He's addressing the same issues, but to a different church. So in Romans 14, verses 1 through 9, it says this: "As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but do not quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one person who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whichever we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living." So the ligaments, the things that bind us together, and we're going to go through all of chapter 14, but this first section, to me, talks about the gospel. And I think the thing that unites us more than anything as believers is the gospel. We're united in the saving work of Jesus. There's no greater bond on earth than the bond of Christian brotherhood and sisterhood. There's a quote from a pastor and an author that I like. His name's Joe Thorne. He says, "The unity of the church is not found in shared affinities, but in a common faith in a shared Savior." And I think that just speaks to the power of the gospel in uniting people. I don't know how many of you have seen our Welcome Edition. If any of you are new and haven't seen this, and I encourage you to pick one of these up. But it talks about our church. There's a letter from Pastor Wes. It talks about who we are, our beliefs about communion, the various things that we do. And then the last couple of pages talks about our statement of faith. And so when you read that, it's the Nicene Creed, and it's the 381 revised version. So we use this creed as our statement of faith for our church that's over 1,600 years old. It's older than more common church's statement of faith. It was written before Scripture was canonized. So it's very, very basic, very, very high level of what Christians have believed for 1,600 years and prior to that. So if you can throw that up there, Michael. Again, hard to read, but the Nicene Creed says this. It says, "We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and of one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten from the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of the same essence as the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven. He became incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was born human, and was made human. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. The third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will never end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. He proceeds from the Father and the Son, and with the Father and Son is worshiped and glorified. He spoke through the prophets. We believe in one holy, universal, and apostolic church. We affirm one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look forward to the resurrection of the dead and to the life of the in the world to come. Amen. So that's our statement of faith, and that's been a common statement of faith for 1,600 years, and it's a thing that has united believers. And I think the first part of chapter 14 talks about that. So Paul says again in Ephesians 2, he says that that for he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. So he has made us one. In Galatians 3, Paul reminds us that there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male or female, you are all one in Christ Jesus. So the gospel, I believe, is the great uniting thing that we have together as believers. Romans 14, continuing on, starting in verse 10, it says, "Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, 'As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God.' So then each of us will give an account of himself to God." So to me, this is kind of just a sobering thought in the middle of this broader narrative about not passing judgment on one another. Later he's going to talk about not causing another brother or sister to stumble. But it's just this sober reality that we will all stand before God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, it says, "So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil." So we will stand before the judgment seat of God. Carrying on, Romans 14, starting in chapter, or verse 13. It says, "Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in any way of a brother. I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it's unclean. For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you're no longer walking in love. By what you eat, do not destroy the one of whom Christ died." So the next principle, the next ligament that binds us together, I think, is love. Wes has, you know, many Wes-isms, I like to refer to him as, and one of the things that he always says is, we have to love others more than we love being right. And I think that just rings true, not only in this passage, but in life. We have to, you know, put other people's wants and desires and needs before our own. Paul says in Colossians 3:14, he says, "Beyond all things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity." And then Peter in 1 Peter 3 says, "Finally, all of you, have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind." And then in 1 John, John says, "No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us." And then in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, he says, "By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So love. We've got the gospel and love, two of the ligaments that bind us together as the body. In Romans 14, going on to verse 16, it says, "So do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and mutual upbuilding." So he says a couple of things in here. He says that he talks about serving Christ, and then he talks about making for peace and for mutual upbuilding. And so when I think about that, I think of service. And you know, last week, Wes's entire sermon was about service. But, you know, getting out of ourselves and serving others, serving our brothers and sisters, binds us together. It's a normal byproduct of service. Matthew 23:11 says that the greatest among you shall be your servant. Jesus said that. In Philippians 2, Paul says, "Let each of you look not to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." And then in Galatians, he says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." So again, a reoccurring theme in Scripture of service. And not only service for the sake of service, but service to your fellow brothers and sisters in the body. You know, in regard to that, you know, last week we had a ministry fair, so we had you know, tables set up for, you know, the various cleaning crews and children's ministry and youth ministry and all the various service opportunities that we have available here. You know, I would encourage you, if you haven't signed up and if you haven't found your place to serve in our church, that you should really consider that. You know, like I said, getting outside of ourselves, serving others, serving the church is a great way to be connected to the body of believers. Romans 14, on to verse 20, says, "Do not for the sake of food destroy the work of God. Everything is indeed clean, but it is wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he eats. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. The faith that you have, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who has no reason to pass judgment on himself for what he approves. But whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats, because the eating is not from faith. For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin." So that kind of concludes chapter 14 of Romans. So we see throughout the chapter these reoccurring themes. We see that we shouldn't quarrel over opinions, but on the other side, we should be united in the essentials of the faith. We shouldn't worry about everyone else's business, but we should live our lives in a way that wouldn't cause another brother or sister to stumble. We shouldn't judge other people, but we should live as those that will be judged by God, because we will. So focusing on the ligaments, the things that hold us together, the gospel, loving one another, serving one another, those are the things that will bind us together. This is my second time doing a sermon, and I have always said that my spiritual gift is brevity. And so I know John really wanted to be out of here in time for the kickoff. But in all seriousness, I want to invite the worship team to come up, because I want to spend a little bit of time in reflection. We're at a time and a place in our country that's pretty contentious. I think we can all agree on that. So if you've been at odds with others, if you have let your personal preferences divide you from other believers, I want to just take some time and pray. Like, we have the altars are open, your chairs are open. I just want to spend some time in prayer. And if you're new to church, if you're a visitor here today, and this idea of unity within believers is completely foreign to you, then you know, I would encourage you to find someone after church. The unity that we have as brothers and sisters in Christ is beyond anything that you can experience in the world. It's something that is unique to the church. It's something unique to believers. Because, you know, David reminds us in the Psalms, he says, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity." And I want us to remember that this morning. So just going to take a few minutes, worship. If the altar is open, if you feel like you've been in a place where you're struggling to get along with people, where social media has consumed you and you and people around you feel like you need to put your opinions out all over the place and it's causing this tension and disunity, I would encourage you to take time and pray about that this morning. So.
Are you hurting and broken within, and overwhelmed by the weight of the sin? Jesus is calling. And have you come to the end of yourself? And do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Don't come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. 'Cause Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior! Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Now bow down before him, for he is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Oh, what a Savior. 'Cause oh, what a Savior. And isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Now bow down before him, for he is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Oh, come to me. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Your breath, oh, oh God, I do gain faith. By your breath, oh God, I do gain hope. By your oh God, I do gain love. It's by your breath, oh God, I do gain life. You sent us your Spirit to be our strength and our guide. In the Word, who is your Holy Son, enthroned at your right side. It's one faith, one hope, one life in you. It's one faith, one hope, one life in you. God, I do gain faith. It's by your breath, oh God, I do gain hope. By your breath, oh God, I do gain love. It's by your breath, oh God, I do gain life. 'Cause you sent us your Spirit to be our strength and our guide. In the Word, who is your Holy Son, is enthroned at your right side. One faith, one hope, one love in you. It's one faith, one hope, one love in you. It's one faith, one hope, one love in you. It's one faith, and one hope, one love in you.
So we are in the middle of a contentious election season. Emotions are running high. Regardless of your political persuasion, we all have opinions and preferences on how we'd like to see things go. In closing, in Romans 13, chapter 1, Paul says, "Every person is subjected in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God." So whether Democrat or Republican, liberal or conservative, they're all established by God to do his sovereign will. We can't see the bigger picture, but we can trust the one who is in control. So please remember that no matter who ends up in the White House, God is still on the throne. Amen. And I found this quote that I really, really liked, and I lost it, and I couldn't figure out who to attribute it to, but just know it's not in my words. It says that, "As believers, we can rest in the fact that the diversity of the church displays Christ's power to bring together dissimilar people in genuine unity." Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning. Lord, we thank you for this church. We thank you for the body that you have put together here locally and globally as your global church. Lord, we pray that that you would keep us unified, Lord, through the gospel, through your love that you give us to give to other people, and through the service that we have to one another. Lord, this is going to be probably a crazy week for a lot of people. I just pray that as emotions tend to run high, that they would be tempered, that people would think twice before posting, you know, things that could be divisive on social media. Lord, that we would remember that you are in control of all things. So, Lord, this morning we give it all to you, Lord. We give our country, our election, our lives. We give everything to you because you are sovereign, you are in control, and we trust you with the outcome of all things. Lord, we pray these things in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen.